Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all our listeners. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mudiwa Gavaza, and for today, it is a Friday, which means we get into the economics news of the week, or, you know, the hard economics, what's actually happening out there. And to sort of help us to unpack what's been going on, particularly around the rand, which is our currency, we are joined by Bianca Boetes, who is the Executive Director at Peregrine Treasury Solutions. Bianca, greetings to you.
Good morning. Thanks for listening to your listeners.
No, thank you so much for joining us, Bianca. I think a good place for us to start is, you know, the rand. We've heard a lot about how the effect of COVID-19 and various lockdowns around the world has been on the rand. It lost a lot of value, you know, nearing that 20 rand to the US dollar mark and just being battered by what was going on. Could you maybe give us your insights just in terms of, you know, where things have been and perhaps where we are now?
What I've actually seen is the rand remained fairly resilient in the past couple of months, after weakening to a low of about 1908 in April of this year as a result of the lockdown and the chaos that happened globally. And basically that global pandemic and that global fear triggered a risk-off rally. So basically investors were dumping emerging market assets, which are known to be your riskier assets. And the rand, unfortunately, took some punishment along with other emerging markets. So we saw lose about 35%. It clawed back about 15%, currently trading just above 16 rand, around about the 1650, 1660 level. And we've actually been sitting at this level for quite some time with sporadic breaks above 17, but then pulling back to the current levels. And we've actually seen that the dollar weakness has been in support of the rand at these levels.
And with all of that in mind, would you say that it's been, I guess, the response of government or whatever stimulation that they've given to the economy that's helped to, you know, support it? Because you've just mentioned the US dollar weakness inside there. Have any of those internal factors helped the rand at all, or has it mainly been attributed to the US dollar weakness you've just spoken about?
It's mostly been attributed to the US dollar weakness that we've seen. So typically in a monetary stimulus environment, you'll see that the Reserve Bank starts cutting interest rates, and that cut of interest rates actually weakens the underlying currency. The Federal Reserve, which is basically the Reserve Bank for the U.S., has actually stimulated the economy significantly, not necessarily by cutting interest rates, but by other open market activities such as purchasing bonds. They actually push trillions of dollars into the economy, and that money needs to find a place to go. And lucky for the rand, we are offering higher interest rates than the rest of the world. And we've seen a lot of that money flow into the rand and rand-denominated assets as investors try to find some way of generating yield. When we start looking at what the South African Reserve Bank did in terms of supporting the economy during lockdown, and during this whole pandemic, everybody is quite familiar with the 500 billion rand stimulus package that the president announced. And there was quite a bit of concern surrounding it because people were arguing, but why can't they just give every citizen a deposit into their bank account, and where has the money gone? But I think it's quite important to understand that it wasn't actually a cash injection into the economy, but rather a reshuffle of resources to make sure that we are allocating money to healthcare, to pandemic assistance from other elements that were budgeted for, such as infrastructure, for instance.
You know, with everything that you're saying, it does sound like there were a lot of different factors, and one would now start thinking about what that stimulus actually did, the reallocation of assets, as you've just put it. But in terms of the central bank and its monetary policy, Would you say that the lowering of interest rates on the side of the SARB, did that have any effects? Because you did talk about how the Fed's actions, you know, had an impact on the US currency, but did the SARB's actions have some impact on the local currency in South Africa?
So the SARB's interest rate actions had short-term impacts on the local currency. The first interest rate cut we saw actually supported the local currency because it was seen as a move to support the underlying economy. So that went in contradiction to your standard economic theory because it was seen as positive news for the local economy. However, the following interest rate cut did very little for the South African rand. And in fact, people have more focused on what was happening globally than really what was taking place locally. When we start looking at one of the other avenues that the Reserve Bank pursued, is a matter of buying bonds in the market. And it was actually quite a contentious matter because the Reserve Bank mandate doesn't make provision for what is known as quantitative easing, where Reserve Bank purchase government bonds to stimulate the economy. The key differentiator here, though, is that what the Reserve Bank did, although it meets the criteria for quantitative easing, what moves it away from that category is actually the fact that they purchased it in the secondary market and not directly from Treasury. And they did that in a manner that was to support liquidity and restore financial system stability rather than an effort to stimulate the economy as a whole.
And in terms of, you know, all of those bond purchases, there's something that you said earlier on about the fact that South Africa has been offering higher interest rates, which meant that money was flowing to South Africa in terms of that market. But as we entered into the lockdown, there was the downgrade by Moody's, which in a lot of economists and, you know, market watchers' eyes was sort of like the final nail in the coffin for South Africa. And there was all this prediction of doom and gloom, particularly around that bond market, because there was going to be South Africa being taken away from the, you know, from the WGBI, the World Government Bond Index, all of those issues. Do you think any of that noise that happened as we entered into lockdown actually affected investor sentiment in the bond market?
It definitely did. What you'll see when you start looking at the sentiment towards South African bonds leading up to the downgrade, investors were actually in a consensus that it's a long time coming. And you would have actually noticed that the bond selling actually started happening way before the actual downgrade took place. So we were in a way lucky that the downgrade took place in the midst of all the chaos of COVID, because in a way it softened the blow and it kind of detracted some of the attention from the downgrade to the more general consensus of what is happening globally. However, we are sitting at almost decade lows in terms of portfolio inflows coming into the country. So there's definitely been a move away from South Africa, but there's still sufficient inflows from these yield seekers to support some form of support to the rand.
And in terms of, I guess, our own moving from level 5 to now level 1 where we are we likely to see, as we sort of maybe give a bit of an outlook, are we likely to start seeing maybe a strengthening of the local currency? Because, you know, there's been a lot of predictions that as foreign travelers come into the country, you know, all of these things, foreign exchange coming to the country, demand for the rand, is that stuff going to be helping us going forward in terms of maybe strengthening the rand's position? Because I think before lockdown, the prediction had been that the rand would end the year at around 13-14, but that's very unlikely at the moment.
Yes, I think we're definitely not going to be lucky enough to see the 13 or 14 rand against the dollar mark, unfortunately. But as it stands at the moment, I'm quite comfortable with the levels we are trading at now, close to about 16.50. And there's a very good chance that we will continue seeing these levels throughout the rest of the year and end the year at these levels. There is a bit of upcoming risk in terms of the midterm budget policy statement that is due towards the end of October. And this is actually going to be quite important for South Africa to see how are we going to manage and navigate the road ahead, given the current debt obligation constraints that our government's facing. But that being said, until we have a bit of clarity in terms of the US elections and where the dollar is heading, the rand will actually continue to take its lead from the dollar, from global sentiment, and actually leverage off that risk appetite for emerging market assets. It's very important, though, to bear in mind that risk on that we're currently seeing, so that yield-seeking behavior can very quickly turn negative. And once we start looking at South Africa in isolation and we start focusing on the fundamentals at play, the South African economy as a whole is in quite a tight position at the moment, having been in recession even before lockdown started, and lockdown obviously just exacerbated that whole unfortunate, sluggish economic environment. So it's going to be very important to see what policies government bring to the table and also what the plan of action is going to be in implementing these policies to get the economy kickstarted again. But for the time being, all the focus is on the US and the upcoming elections and how that will impact on the dollar.
Bianca, one of the things I'd like to do is to maybe zoom in on Peregrine Treasury Solutions, maybe to just understand a little bit just around what are you guys actually doing at your firm, and how have you seen maybe conversations or discussions with clients evolving through the lockdown?
Okay, perfect. So at Peregrine Treasury Solutions, we actually specialize in currency management, and most of our clients are either corporates or institutions who have some form of currency exposure, albeit through dividend distributions, importing or exporting. And obviously the effects of lockdown impacted quite significantly on a number of these clients. You had clients who were hedged, who had to unwind some of their exposure. You had clients who wasn't prepared for the rand to blow out to 19 rand. And it actually placed quite a bit of pressure on South African businesses and obviously our client base as a whole to kind of navigate their way through this and end up still being in a viable business position. Typically what we do is we do the process, or we encounter the process with the client, taking it on from the very start of putting a risk policy in place, making sure that you are actually expecting the unexpected and having a policy that dictates how you manage your foreign currency in place. Secondly, we take a look at what are the dynamics at play in the market, what are the risks, what are the potential upside for the currency, and then deploy strategies making use of a combination of products, such as, let's say, your spots, your forwards, and your options, to actually deploy a strategy that meets your objectives, make sure that you are protecting your profit, make sure you are enhancing your profit margin where possible, and taking that onus from the business of trying to understand the currency market, keeping an eye on the forex as it fluctuates throughout the day, and putting it into the hands of a team of professionals.
And with that in mind, then, I'm very then interested to hear, because you do have, you know, that vantage point. You are in a position where you're really understanding the market. Going forward in terms of, you know, the outlook, what are some of the drivers, as far as you can see, that will maybe dictating demand for the rand? We've spoken quite extensively about bonds, but outside of that, what are some of the things that are actually dictating the type of exposures that different type of clients have? Are people trying to buy buildings, cars, vehicles? Are they trying to, you know, move money out of the country? Are they trying to maybe reduce rand holdings, maybe get their hands on US dollars as a hedge? Like, what are some of those dynamics?
So when we start looking at the wealth management space, so typically your individual clients making use of their allowances to take money offshore, we've actually seen quite a significant increase on clients looking for offshore exposure, asset managers looking to increase their offshore exposure, instead of just investing into South African assets. And that is basically twofold. Because A, it's very important to diversify your portfolio. You know, as the saying goes, you can't have all your eggs in one basket. But I think there's also been a bit of fear surrounding the South African economy and exactly how safe your wealth is in an economy that's been in recession for a year, and we are struggling to actually find and implement solutions to the structural issues we are facing. from a corporate and commercial perspective, you know, when we start looking at importers and exporters, it becomes very clear that South Africa is an import-driven country. We rely heavily on imports. Our closest trading partners, for instance, as a country, is China and Europe. And that is also one of the reasons why the trade war between the US and China has actually affected the rand as much as it has. When we start looking at exporting, South Africa has a thriving agricultural sector. And lucky enough, during lockdown, the agribusinesses are considered as essential services because they are the only people who's actually able to ensure this food security. And there's been massive demand coming from other countries such as the UK and Europe for a lot of our fresh produce. So during these lockdown periods and when we start looking at economic decline, we'll see that our imports dropped significantly, but our exports luckily didn't drop as much. And that has contributed to the fact that we are an exporter of agri goods that was considered a basic good for export during lockdown.
That actually sounds like quite a robust analysis just around some of the factors that are going to be affecting the economy, I guess, as a whole and as a sort of a byproduct to the rand. So I guess lastly from me, what are you keeping your eye on and what's your outlook for the rand in South Africa?
So first and foremost, I'm definitely keeping an eye on Joe Biden and Donald Trump. So when I say fighting, I mean it in the literal way. Fighting it out for the Oval Office. And it will be very interesting to see what the race to election actually, what the effect will be on the dollar. And if we see a change in leadership from Republicans to Democrats, how the market would perceive that. The consensus at the moment is that Donald Trump will most likely yet again win the presidency. And it's actually quite interesting to think, you know, we are in times where someone like Donald Trump can be in power. So, you know, definitely keeping an eye on him, always keeping an eye on his Twitter account. He's quite erratic. And just keeping an eye on the comments he's making regarding policy, regarding stimulus. And then also very important from a local perspective, looking at Tito Mboweni, who's due to present the midterm budget speech, and really looking for the plan that they're going to have in place with, in particular, to the debt crisis that the government is facing, in conjunction with Eskom, how we are going to continue funding Eskom, providing sustainable electricity to households and companies in South Africa. And then the other SOEs, how are we going to continue funding them? Is there a plan in place to restructure them? How do we actually get them to a point where they are profitable? And then looking towards economic growth policy, what are we doing to support households? What are we doing to support businesses? And how do we drive that into positive sentiment that will ultimately lead to economic growth?
So that's been us with Bianca Boertus, who is the Executive Director for Peregrine Treasury Solutions, giving us some insight into the currency markets and how all of that is being affected by the wider economy, talking about the fact that the rand has reacted more to global sentiment and global factors, especially some of the weakening in the US dollar. She's talking about the fact that she's going to be watching the US election, because that's going to give a lot of indication about where the US dollar is going, and as a byproduct, it's going to affect where the rand actually heads to. We're likely not to even touch anywhere close to the predicted 13-14 rand levels predicted at the start of this year, but she is saying that in the last couple of months the rand has been quite resilient in its trading levels, having recovered from its weak point in April of just over 19 rand to the dollar. Also, just ending off talking about the fact that there are a number of different factors that are sort of dictating demand for the rand, especially, you know, just around exports. There's still a number of goods and services in South Africa that are helping to keep the local currency afloat, and also just giving some insight into how various stimulus packages and some of the the activities of the Saab have been affecting the local market. So that's been it. Thank you so much to Bianca for joining us for today.
This is Mudiwa's Take.
Very fascinating discussion with Bianca from Peregrin. And one of the things I really like about this discussion is that when you're talking to someone like this who is sort of a specialist around the currency, that's the rand, you sort of begin to start seeing that the economy as a whole, it's all interlocked, it's all interlinked. One piece fits into the other, because you can hear from everything that she's saying, you would swear that we're having a typical conversation that we have on a Friday with an economist, because all of the different factors that she was talking about that are affecting the rand, that have affected the rand, are all at play, and the outlooks, the things that they are looking out for. More importantly, it's sort of just appreciating how much of a barometer the rand really is for economic activity, and maybe positioning South Africa's place in the wider global economy, just taking into cognizance how the US election has such a big impact on what the rand is likely to be trading at after Joe Biden and Donald J. Trump go at it, and elections are drawn out and it's done. All of those global factors, and also just how much emerging markets as a group of economies, their fortunes are tied so much to each other. And then going forward, it's just good to also then hear someone like Bianca saying that where the rand is trading at the moment, it's actually not that bad. Yes, things have weakened, and in the consumer market, particularly for imported goods like such as your electronics, etc., there have been some price increases. There has been upward pressure on those prices because of that weakening rand, but it's not as bad as it was when we were in April. Going forward, it'll just be good to see just how long it's going to take for the rand to actually recover to those pre-COVID levels, if at all. Right at the beginning of this year, as we said during the show, the prediction had been that the year would end with the rand sitting at that 14 rand region, but that's unlikely to happen. The other factor to consider, we had a conversation on the Business Day Spotlight a few weeks ago with the Tourism Business Council, and we've heard them talking about the fact that they've possibly lost 120 billion rand in revenues for the local tourism sector. That largely would have come from foreign travelers, and all of that liquidity, that money, is a lot of it is in large part from overseas travelers. I think the number I heard is 68% coming from overseas travelers, and that's obviously people that are using pounds, that are using yen, that are using yuan, using US dollars and euros, right? And if we're saying that all of that hasn't been normal, how much do all of those different factors maybe get into how, you know, what the demand for the rand actually is? So going forward, it will be good to see where we are maybe by the time we get to New Year's, and how much the US election would have actually impacted South Africa's local currency, and at the same time how much travel during the festive season that's coming up is going to affect that. And also going forward, because the South African Reserve Bank has indicated that it's not going to be putting them down anytime soon, how much of an impact that's going to be having on the local bond market. So that's been it. Thank you so much. And then that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcasts on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab on Twitter, where #BDSpotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. Thank you to our amazing team. Our producer is Paige Muller, together with Modiehi Mashamayete. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail, and this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So for myself and the rest of the team, it is good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.